The question is, how are we going to respond? And I hope we're all thinking about that during this series. Whether we hit something you've experienced or that you haven't experienced, you're always thinking, God, how would I respond in that situation? Are we going to give up? Are we going to lose faith? Or are we going to stand firm? Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be there for each other no matter what through these curveballs? Trusting in a God who does save, who does heal, who does provide. Keeping our expectations in line with his word instead of dropping them to the circumstances that we face in our life. I love that about this series. And I'm sure that we can all say that we felt at times the journey wasn't taking the course that we expected, right? So how do we respond to God in the midst of that? What are you going to do? And as I was praying about this sermon and what God wanted me to bring, I really felt him draw me to Acts 27. And I looked it up and started reading it, and it's a wonderful passage, and that's what I'm going to focus on tonight. So if you've got a Bible, if you've got an iPhone, check with me. I'm going to hit a few key passages. But first of all, sound-wise, is this okay? Because I know we've had a bit of sound troubles. Wave your hand if you can't hear me. Good. All right. Okay. So my prayer is this passage is going to give us some great insights tonight in how to respond well in the midst of a curveball and in the midst of a storm. How are we going to stand firm? How are we going to persevere? So more and more I've read this passage and I've reread it, I began to realize that this is not just for individuals here tonight, but I really believe this is a word for our community at the moment with where we're at in this season. So that's exciting. So let's dive in. All right. First things first though, God has spoken to Paul before Acts 27 in Acts 23:11, and he told him this. He said to Paul, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. So Paul knew that God was one day going to be taking him to Rome. This was God's word to him, and Paul could stand sure of this, that God was going to take him to testify about him in Rome. But you know what? I wonder, and I doubt, whether Paul knew that it would entail being illegally arrested, going through Roman and Jewish trials, confinement, being taken as a prisoner, shipwrecked, and even bitten by a poisonous viper. I'm not sure if Paul knew that that's what the journey was going to entail when God said, I'm going to take you to Rome. But Luke records this voyage of Paul's to Rome, and it's anything but smooth sailing. And when a curveball hits, can't we say it feels a bit like that, being tossed around the sea? Nothing like sailing smooth through. It can leave us directionless, maybe abandoned, maybe feeling unsure of what the future holds. And let's face it, man in life, we haven't had smooth sailing lately, not when it comes to a home and a building. It's been a journey, hasn't it? You know, I've been overwhelmed, though, by the way that God has been at work in the midst of our storm as a community. The way he's been at work in us as leaders, and also in drawing us together. The amount of times I've heard people say, this season has spoken to me so much about how church isn't about a building, but it's all about a people. Wherever we are, that's where the church is. That's where our community of believers is. And I think that's been something huge that's encouraged us all. So this first insight I'm going to get tonight is that curveballs and storms aren't meant to be weathered alone. Have you ever had someone show up at just the right time, at just the right place, and give you that word of encouragement you needed? Well, God does this in this story. Before Paul even sets out on this boat, the first person that God uses is a man named Julius. Now, I don't know who Julius was, but I'm pretty sure God put him in it. Not only does he save Paul's life during this storm and this journey, but he also extends kindness to Paul exactly when he needed it. He extends it to him by saying, go and see some friends before we head off on this, Paul's a prisoner, so it's pretty amazing. He goes, go and see some friends inside him. Am I saying it right, Jim? He's trapped to me. Inside him. He gives him release to go. And at that time, his friends minister to him. They build him up. They encourage Paul just before he's about to enter this storm. And not only that, but Luke goes aboard the ship with him. And another man called Aristarchus. You'll know. Yeah, he's nodding at me. Okay, good. Aristarchus volunteered himself as a prisoner to serve Paul, to stay alongside him throughout his journey, and to be almost like a helper to Paul. So he was not left alone through the storm. And I want to ask, if you're in a storm right now, to be aware, who is God bringing alongside you? Don't let those people flutter by. And don't be afraid from reaching out to people as well. If you're in the midst of a storm, we're meant to weather it together. So don't withdraw, don't hide. It can be tempting to do it. But reach out to the people that God's put alongside you. But if you're not in that position, who do you know is going through a storm that you can get alongside? You know, life is so busy, and don't we feel like, oh, I wish I had more time for this person, I wish I had more time for that person. But I just encourage you to stop and take those moments, take that hour to visit someone, to call someone that you know is struggling, and be that person to them, be that person that's weathering the storm with them. I hope we're known as a community that does that for one another. You know, our first service here at Fairlight, we just finished it, and we're having our tea and coffee outside, and Peter Richards came up to me. So who knows Peter Richards? Great man. Get to know him if you don't in this community. He came up to me and he said, Victoria, I just want you to know that wherever you go, we're with you. So dramatic stuff.
My heart.
to clear out my heart, to do a work in me, to persevere to that point where we build character and hope. Yeah? So there's practical areas in our character in us that needs cleaning up. So what do you need to let go of? Is there anything in the midst of your storm that God's asking you to let go of? Or is there anything in your heart that he's wanting to grow, that he's wanting to shape? You know, as leaders of our life, I think of this journey and I straight away think, well, I know that God has been stripping us of pride throughout this journey, of security, of doing things in our own strength, of being able to provide out of our own effort for our community. You know, we keep knocking on doors, but we know full well it's got to be God. There's been times where our hands have been absolutely tied and we're like, we can do nothing right now. All we can do is rest on you, God, and press into you. And I know he's been stripping us back of that place of just humility in him. It's all about you, Father. You're the one that makes a way for us. I also feel like it's been stripping us back as a community to the essentials, to what really matters. What are the elements about doing life together that are the most important? And that's what we've been focusing on. And those two things have been a wonderful place to be in. So let him complete that work in you. Don't fight it. It's like fighting against the winds of a storm. Be willing to clear that deck, to allow God to fashion your character in your heart. So the story kicks on and something really sad happens. It happens in verse 20 and it says this. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. Can I say how scary that would have been? Almost this blackness and this wind and this thunder, and it would have been terrifying. And no small storm was assailing us. From then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. This is so sad, because they got to the point where hope was abandoned. They thought, this is it, we're done. We're not going to survive this. So this thought, insight, is don't abandon hope. Remember and declare the promise of God over your life. In that moment where it gets so dark and you don't know how you're going to go on, that's when you need to reach up and go, what has God promised me? What's the word he's given me? Because we see the thing that happens next in this story is beautiful. An angel sent by God appears to Paul and reminds him of the promise back in Acts 23. The angel or messenger says, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. He says, don't forget. God said he's taking you to testify in Rome. You will stand before Caesar. Therefore, this storm will not overcome you. What an encouragement at just the right moment. Right when he needed to hear it. So God's purposes remain despite the curveball of a journey you might be taking. His promises remain. So do you have a promise that you started to abandon hope on? Don't go to that place. Reach up, take hold of it, declare it like Paul did. He declared it to the people he was with, standing firm. How many times have we all cried out, why God? Yeah? In the midst of that situation. Why? I think it's so common and it's so human. Yeah? I wonder if Paul was having one of those moments. God, what is going on? Why? But God calls us to live by faith, to live by his promises, to know we have hope in the midst of the unknown. And that is hard when we can't figure out the mysteries of the journey and the mysteries of what he's doing, but we can rise up in our faith in those moments and stand on those promises. Here's some promises from Romans 8 that I want to read over you right now. In verse 31 it says, if God be for us, who can ever be against us? What a great thing to declare. And verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. Even before we have conquered that thing that we need to conquer, he calls us conquerors. These are promises over us and our church. And I believe it as it's written in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When you break that passage down, we know in all things, we know in all curveballs, we know in all storms, not that God has brought that storm, don't hear me wrong, not that God has brought that curveball, but through it he's able to do something good. Through it he's able to bring some life, some joy, something out of it. to me and my siblings, oh, so gonna cry. I always cry when I preach. I'm like the crying preacher. Okay. My mom quoted the scripture to me. She's gonna cry too.
Oh dear.
And my siblings during our darkest hour, and it was our most unexpected curveball. And I want to share it to us. Curveballs. So this is the biggest curveball I've faced. And she said it nearly killed her at the time, but she just trusted God that everything would be okay. I'll just cry the way through it. So she quoted it the night that we had a house fire. And if you've heard my testimony before, bear with me, hopefully you can have something new out of it tonight. But our house burnt down, we lost everything in one night. But I wouldn't care to have any of it back. Not the photo albums or the jewelry or the stuffed toys that I had. I was 13 and the youngest of five and very much daddy's little girl. We spent a lot of time together. But I think it's all the crazy hormones. But my dad didn't make it out of that class choir that night. And that was the greatest loss that we suffered. And as a 13-year-old little girl, my heart literally tore in two. I didn't understand it. I was so angry with God. And that why just rang in my head. But my mum, in her steadfast faith, and I know I must have killed her to say it, quoted this scripture as we drove off in our car that night, that, you know, this isn't going to destroy us, this isn't going to tear our family down, but God can bring something, something good out of this. So, unfortunately, the first thing actually was good, the curveballs and storms aren't meant to be weathered alone. And it was amazing, because we stayed, moved in with my sister, and the next day almost, bags of clothes started arriving at the door, and people just started dropping off money. My dad's teacher gave me a scholarship for the rest of the year to dance. And it was amazing, and this community of friends that were with us during this storm, we knew that we weren't going to weather this alone, and it meant the world to us. God demonstrated that he did care for us, that he did love us in the midst of this storm through the people like you that surrounded us. But the second thing, unfortunately, I didn't have open ears to hear God in wisdom at that time. Part of that was probably because I was 13 and a little bit rebellious. But it was so painful to lose my dad that I thought, stuff this, I don't want to be close to anyone because it's far too painful to have someone ripped out of your life. So I just withdrew, stopped listening, stopped hearing. I thought, you know what, if God wasn't there when I needed him most, then I couldn't trust him to be there again, so I'll just do it all on my own strength. I'll look after myself. So I withdrew, and I was hoping, you know, God wasn't satisfying those needs in us that he's meant to. And as I turned to the world looking to find my way, I can tell you it was so unfulfilling, and a constant dissatisfaction in my soul was ringing around. I was being tossed like that boat in the storm, without purpose and without direction. But bless my dear mum, she kept dragging me along to these Christian conferences and things like that. And I sat in the conference one night, and the pastor said, whatever you've lost, God can turn for good. God can replace it. In all my bitterness, I was like, you're right, preacher man. You can't get my dad back from the dead. This guy knows nothing. And then all I can describe, it must have been like the Holy Spirit grabbing the back of my shirt, pushing me down the front of that church. I ran down that night and I said, Jesus, I want to give my heart back to you. And I'll never forget the words out of that pastor's mouth. He said, tonight, you have this new father in heaven. You have this heavenly father. He knew nothing what I'd been through. I was just wrecked. I was like, oh my gosh, this heavenly dad has been acting like such an orphan, and he really has been there for me this whole time. And had an amazing encounter with him that night. But it was like tug of war. My way, God's way, my way, God's way. For the next few years, as I learned how to open my ears to his wisdom and to the God, the wisdom of the people around me. But I came to a point where I knew God had called me to more than what I was living. I knew he had greater purposes for me that I wasn't walking in. So it was time to clear the decks for me. And I literally cleared the deck. I literally, like everything that I was doing, I stopped out of frustration. I was like, God, if you've got something for me, I need to know what it is. I need to open my ears. I need to hear you. I need to get out of this being tossed to and fro. And so I think I was dating someone. I broke up with them. I quit my job. I just literally hanged it down and said, God, what is your will for me? And literally, this woman got up in church that Sunday and said, if you want to know God's will for your life, come along to this course, Perspectives. And I was like, I'm there. I'm so there. And I started to grasp through that course this amazing heart of God for missions and the world. And 3 months later, I was just like out of control. I was baking 100 cookies a month, taking them to my local shops, just being like, can I just talk to you about Jesus and putting a scripture on it and praying for people? And I was just like so moved by God's heart for others that I was compelled to do something. His heart was starting to shape and form my heart. I was starting to get a grasp of his love and letting it flow out of me. That year, I ended up in Africa and getting undone again by his love. Undone working with orphans, working in prisons, working with street kids. And just, it was unbelievable. As I let go of my plans, he took a hold of me and I just ran with my yes. So my depths were becoming full of all the good things about him, full of all the good things about heaven. So I totally recommend it. But he had some clearing out of my heart to do big time. And a long story short, I ended up in Toronto at a ministry school. And it was amazing how I ended up there. But I was in worship one day, and this girl came up to me. She's praying for me. She says, no, I just see this scar on your heart. And then she walks away. I was like, who does that? Show me. And I don't know how to describe it except that in that moment, it's like God took me instantly back to the night my dad died. And it was so vivid, and it was so real, and it was painful, but it was extraordinary. Because in that moment, I saw Jesus sitting in the gutter as I waited for the fire engine to come. And I saw the Father washing the mud off my feet as my neighbor had washed the mud off my feet. And as I stood there and the policeman told me my dad had died, I saw God the Father standing there with tears streaming down his face. And it was like he reached inside my chest and touched my heart, and this light exploded from me like nothing I've felt for years. And I was completely undone. And it's why I do what I do, because I got so wrecked by the love of God that every time I see somebody counter that love of the Father, it keeps me going in ministry. I just think I can't get enough of that, of people knowing you have this Father that absolutely adores you, that is there for you. In the moments you might have thought he abandoned you, but was there, perhaps not how you expected, but weeps over our pains, weeps over our curveballs, weeps over our storms, and longs to be alongside us. You know, Deuteronomy 31:8, I hold on to this promise. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It doesn't say that life's always going to be easy. The Bible doesn't tell us that life is always going to be smooth sailing. But it does promise that he is with us no matter what, that he goes before us no matter what, that we don't need to be afraid no matter what the storm or curveball is, that we don't need to be discouraged, but be filled with the joy and the knowledge that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that he is always with you. And for me, it was going back to that vision and seeing there that sunk deep into my heart and shaped so much of what I do and who I am. So I remember that, I declare it over my life and my heart. I'm going to bring us home with this, but when my mum quoted that scripture, you know, God can turn all things for good. When I had that vision and shared that with her, I think that was a real moment. I saw things so good, and I forgot a bit of the vision. Whatever it was at the end, I stood on this hill and I saw angels take my father to heaven. And I called my mum the next day, I was like, I think I might be going a bit nuts. I had this vision, I told her all about it. And she was like, you know what, a woman told me that night she saw angels take my husband to heaven. I thought, you're just being nice, you know. But 10 years later, God showed me the exact same picture, the exact same image. So it so ministered to her heart as well. And I've had the opportunity to share this testimony in many different churches, in different nations, where as I've traveled the world, I've seen God do so much good through it. I've seen people connect with their Heavenly Father through it, heal through curveballs and storms they face through it, so I know that he's bringing that promise of that verse to pass. As I lay down my life for him to use my storm to glorify his name, maybe that's something you need to be willing to do. Rather than be blaming him for the storm you're in, how about you lay down and go, God, use this. I surrender. Use this however you can. Use it to glorify him. So we're not going to always know the whys about why he allows our suffering. Some of it is the broken world in which we live in. Some of it's because of our own sin. Some of it we may never understand in this lifetime. Some of it might even just be spiritual attack. And Tim talked about all of this in his first sermon in this series. How suffering comes in along our paths. But whatever it is, are you willing to hand it over to him? Are you willing to let him bring good out of it? And I don't doubt that he's still sovereign no matter what. And will you not doubt that he's still sovereign no matter what? Yeah? Children, do stuff. And that's good. That's enough. Stand up.